Hey, Zach here, and before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that you can actually grab the recordings of our most recent Facebook and Instagram ads for List Building Bootcamp for just $25. Now, in January of 2024, we hosted a 5-day live training where we walked our clients through step-by-step how to set up ads that grow their email list every single day so that they're always growing their business, always growing their audience, and always having new people to make offers to. Now, what's really great about this bootcamp is we have literally dozens of client results from it, and you can get the recordings of that most recent one from January of 2024 for just $25. All you have to do is head to theadsbootcamp.com. Again, that's theadsbootcamp.com. And you're going to learn step by step through how people were able to grow their list. We have incredible results like Zita, who added 67 leads to her list in just 5 days at $1.80 a piece, or Nora Jean, who added 62 leads for $1.12 in those 5 days. We have Brenda, who added over 500 people to her list over the course of a week, under 50 cents a piece. Heather Lalonde, who did over 200 leads at 50 cents a piece. Amy Hughes, who added over 300 leads in a week. I mean, the list goes on. And those are just our January testimonials. We have even more than that, plus testimonials from the last 7 times we've done this, and we would love to have you in next. So if you head over to theadsbootcamp.com, you can grab the recordings for just $25. It'll walk you step by step through growing your list, and in less than 5 days, you could have tons of new leads pouring into your list every day, semi-automated with Facebook advertising. So check it out, and let's get into this week's episode.
Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And I'm pumped this week because we have a guest, and it's been quite a while since we've had a guest on the show, but I'm super excited to introduce you to Jasmine Starr, who is an absolute social media maven. She is an Instagram genius. Her Facebook page gets crazy organic reach, and we're actually in a mastermind together. And when I knew I would have the opportunity to potentially get Jasmine on the show, I knew I couldn't pass up on it. And I'm really pumped because we're going to be talking about Instagram for the rest of us today. And like, you know, for those of us who don't get it, who don't get Instagram, or like maybe we have some followers, but like, what are we supposed to be doing? Jasmine Starr is a genius at Instagram. So we are going to talk to her today about how to position yourself on Instagram and really on social media to get more customers, more clients, and more results. Now, before we dive right into the interview, I have to warn you, there was a little bit of a hiccup with our recording where I lost about literally the first 15 seconds. So it didn't make sense to re-record the entire thing for 50 seconds. We're all about getting it out there instead of stressing over perfection. But just to lay the framework, I introduce Jasmine. I say, thanks so much for being on the show, Jasmine. She's telling us a little bit about herself and how she ended up here. And her story starts when she decided to go to law school, and she was deciding to leave law school back in early 2005. So our story starts there. And without further ado, I will let Jasmine tell you the rest.
It was very hard to admit that this clear-cut path was not the thing that was supposed to be my destiny. And so I literally walked out of school. I went on a full-ride scholarship, and they said, okay, well, when you leave, I was at UCLA Law School here in Los Angeles. And they said, well, when you leave, you have 5 years to come back and get your scholarships. And I said, okay, I'll be back. Or now I sound like I'm somehow Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, I'll be back. No, but in all actuality, I really believed I was until I really just wanted my mom to see me marry my best friend and high school sweetheart. And it was there on our wedding day that I realized I want to be a photographer, which literally came out of the blue. It was always something I harbored in the back of my mind. And everybody, when we got back from our honeymoon, thought that that was an absolutely crazy idea because everybody assumed, oh, well, you'll go back to law school. If not right now, then surely next year. And my newly minted husband sat across from me, and we were talking about my mom and the fragility of life. And he had said, what do you want to do? And I said, I really want to be a photographer. And he noted one tiny detail, and that was I didn't have a camera. And I was like, but if I got a camera, whoa, could I create some damage in the world? And he bought me a camera that Christmas. And I started officially and unofficially my very first business in 2006. And by 2007, my business exploded. And in 2009, I was named one of the top photographers in the world. And it was crazy because everyone's like, how does that make sense? Like, you didn't have anything. You didn't know anything. You didn't have any resources. You didn't have any connections. And I'm like, I didn't, but I definitely had hustle and I figured out how to make it work. So much so, and this is where I'm going to tie it up with a little bow. People started asking, well, how did you grow your business? And do you think that that would work for mine? And so fast forward 12 years later, I'm now empowering people how to find their voices, be themselves, and really grow a business on social media the way that I did. And I kind of hail from this like bootstrap ghetto fabulousness, because when you don't have a lot, you have to learn how to be scrappy and lean, and then all of a sudden run a really profitable business. And I know that's where you come from.
I love it. So now I have to backpedal a little bit and say, as much as you are like the most flawless person I've ever met, and I say that about you when you're not around, and now the whole world knows, but you are the most real person on social media. And it's something that's insanely refreshing. And I'd love if you could just talk about that for a second, because you have, from, you know, an outside perspective, I think your Instagram, your Facebook business page, you know, especially right now, as everyone's talking about like the Facebook algorithm apocalypse, and we won't go down that rabbit hole, but you get crazy engagement with your audience.
And okay, so I feel like I could speak so passionately and tangibly about this subject because I lost my way. So when I started my business, and when I say business, there's these big air quotes around it because I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. I put the battery in my camera the wrong way. I didn't even know I needed a business license or that I needed to file taxes my first year of business. These are all real things that happened in my life. I will say that the reason why the business grew is because at the time, the platform of choice, which is different now than it was then, but it was blogging. It was all of a sudden people, there was like equality on the internet. It wasn't the haves and the have-nots. It was simply those who decided to show up. And so I really put myself online. I was explaining my story. I was talking about my journey. And for some reason, people and prospective customers became really connected to the journey. And then about halfway through my career, about year 8 or 9, when the business just exploded in such a way, I lost my bearings in that I thought that the business had this veneer and this lacquer on it that I needed to be somebody else. I needed to look like I was put together. I needed to look like I was at the top of my game. I needed to look a certain way. And even though those things were true, it was true of my business. It wasn't true of me. And I think that people immediately smelled the inauthenticity. I think that people started calling me out on it. I lost my way. And I thought to myself, everything that I preached about when I started my business, which is stay true to yourself, speak your truth, be you, and you will find a tribe of customers and clients who will really support that. I veered so far from that. And I had this really big reckoning in about 2013. And then at that time, I realized, go back to your roots. Show the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it is okay that people don't like you. And it is okay that people disagree with you. And it is okay that you resonate with one group of people so differently than another. You're not called to be the everything entrepreneur to all people. You're called to be an entrepreneur, a leader, a guide to a small group of people who will lead you through the promised land. Can we get an amen? Like, we don't need 200,000 followers to have a business. We need 2 million, whatever that number is, these people are going to be the people that take us where we want to go, not all masses of people on social media, period.
I love it. I love it. And you have just done such an exceptional job of giving people a behind the scenes. And so it's safe to say that I think your Instagram is so flawless because you are one of the best photographers out there. We know that it's qualified, but talk to us a little bit about that. Is Instagram your platform of choice these days?
Well, it depends what scope you're asking me. If you're asking me as a business owner, I still think my platform of choice is Facebook. It is powerful. I have the highest return specifically on those ads when I run ads. There seems like to be a longer life for a lot of the status updates or the photos or videos. It seems like it has legs still on Facebook. And Instagram, in a business perspective, is a shorter time span. There's a lot more content being out there. It's a lot more of the perfection is the way to be on Instagram. And I feel like Facebook still resonates with me in a business perspective. From a personal perspective, where do I spend the most time as just an average consumer of social media? It is hands down on Instagram. And studies show that I'm not alone in that.
I love it. So we're actually going to talk a little bit about Instagram today. And just to give you guys at home a little bit of context, we talked a little bit before we started about, we weren't sure exactly where we wanted to go, because I think it's kind of safe to say that like Instagram is sort of where Facebook was about 2 years ago. Like, it's no longer a secret. You can use it for business. It's no longer a secret how you get discovered kind of with hashtags. And we talked a little bit, and I think, Jasmine, a great place to start would be like, what about the average person on Instagram? You know, not the person who's saying, you know, I'm getting started on Instagram. What do I do? Like, let's kind of like lay out almost a customer avatar. Somebody with 500 to 1,000 followers, they've done okay. Maybe they've landed a client or two. They are throwing hashtags at the wall and it's like kind of working, but I call it the spray and pray method. They're just spraying hashtags, spraying content, and praying that their clients find that. When you see somebody like that, like, what is the next step to moving away from, I'm using Instagram like a photo book, to I'm using Instagram like a professional?
You are such a good question asker. My God, I feel like I have to bring my A game, Spuckler. Okay, but let me back up 1 second, because I believe that you and I resonate with each other because we both come up from a place of why, not necessarily a place of yes, which is what everybody preaches, like Shonda Rhimes, you know, we don't come from a place of no necessarily. We've come into our own. So we don't come from a place of negativity, but we want to come, why? Like, why does this work for me? Why should I believe the thing that Jasmine is saying? And I believe that our listeners are probably thinking in the back of their mind, because everybody thinks when I step up on a stage or I get on a podcast that I have something like, oh, I got to pitch my angle. And let me just break down any of those presuppositions. And that is, I will use whatever platform is the hot platform. 2 years ago, it was Facebook. 12 years ago, it was blogging. 10 years ago, it was Twitter. Like, the next iteration of social media is where you will find me. And not because I have a vested interest, like, oh, I got something to sell, or oh, I got to grow my business that way. Because what happens is, when you pour so much time and energy into one platform and you build it, all of a sudden you become so fearful that it's going to go away the next week. So you're on a mission. Let me tell you that I have diversified my social media endeavors to ensure that I am not reliant upon one such platform. Today, we're going to be talking about Instagram, but if anybody wants to do a little bit of digging, you will find me on all social platforms at Jasmine Starr, and you can see that I have over 120,000 on Twitter. I have 215,000 on Facebook. I have 45,000 on YouTube. I'm really all about, where are people going to spend their time? And that's where I'm going. So today I talk about Instagram. Zach, you might have me on the podcast next month and I'm talking about this new app. I don't know. I'm just talking about diversification to understand how we could use it as business owners. So, having said that, now we have the foundation so people aren't extra suspicious of my opinions. To go back to your question, we were talking about Instagram for the rest of us, correct?
You got it.
Okay. So oftentimes, we'll go back and repeat the question in a nutshell so that I can like dive right in, because I went off a little bit of a tangent.
Sure. No, I love that. And I just want to say that, like, I think that's so key. What you said is like, really be where the people are. And I think we talked about calling this episode Instagram for the rest of us, but really a more appropriate title, but not as kitschy, so I don't get to use it. How to get in front of people a la Instagram.
Yes. Yes.
So the question on the table is kind of, to the average Instagram user who's got 500 to 1,000 followers, they sort of get hashtags, but at the same time, if you were to ask them, what's your biggest struggle? They would say, followers, and I don't really get hashtags. What are kind of the next steps for that person if they want Instagram to be their platform of choice?
Okay, let's break this down into three easy actionable steps. And that's going to be, number one, you got to focus on consistency. I always look at social platforms as like a garden. And when you water them and when you tend them, they grow. So if you're on Instagram and you're kind of sort of, if you've ever had those moments of, oh my God, it's been 4 days, or oh my God, it's been a week and I haven't posted on Instagram, you can't really complain that you're not getting engaged or people ain't paying attention to you. That's just the name of it. Like, how much you pay attention to the platform is how much the platform pays attention to you. It is just that simple. Number two, don't blame the algorithm for anything. The algorithm is your friend if you choose to see it that way. So the algorithm rewards users regardless of the size of their audience by showing the good and engaging content. If your content is not getting shown, it is an indication that the content you are producing isn't engaging. And they base that level of engagement by how your audience is reacting when you first post it. So number one, create consistency. Number two, don't blame the algorithm. Blame your content. See how mean I am? Oh my God, your listeners are going to hate me. And number three, what you're going to try to do is you're going to put yourselves in the shoes of your customer, not your followers. Now, we hope that ultimately people will transition from followers into customers, but in order to do that, you must know who your customer is specifically and why are they on Instagram. So what I see happening are entrepreneurs using hashtags that are really relevant to the field that they serve, but that doesn't necessarily work unless you're trying to book other people in your field, which we all know that's not really the case. That's not why really we're on Instagram. We're trying to book customers. So I want you to really go through your 30 hashtags. I want you to break your hashtags into different sections that really cater to finding your ideal clients in unsuspecting places. So this is where I feel like this is my jam, because people will say, use these hashtags, and they always talk about, oh, well, you should break these up this way and you should break them up this way. But I really want to talk about finding the hashtags that is what I call stumble upon hashtags, because there are searchable hashtags. When somebody goes to Instagram looking for a very specific thing, like they're going there and they're looking for handmade jewelry. So that could be one of the hashtags that you use, but that's one of millions of posts within that. That's somebody going to Instagram looking for handmade jewelry. Now, there also could be somebody on Instagram surfing the outfit of the day hashtag, or how to style your jewelry hashtag, or evening jewelry hashtag. And when they're going through that, they might then stumble upon a hashtag, not necessarily searching for handmade jewelry, but when they see your handmade jewelry in this outfit of the day post, it will all of a sudden bring a casual viewer to then press the follow button because they like what they see on your account. Oftentimes, a lot of my students are, let's just say, family photographers. And then they will oftentimes use hashtags like Ohio wedding photographer or Scranton family photographer. And those are all great. But when you use those hashtags, you are presupposing that people are going to Instagram looking for Scranton family photographer. And they could, but that might not necessarily be the case. Where do you think your dream customer is hanging out? Is she leader of the PTA? Are her children in soccer? Does she do hand-baked cookies for her school cookie drive? Then what you want to do is you want to hashtag certain photos that are relevant to that. If she's at Gymboree, if she's at the PTA meeting, you could put Scranton PTA meetings and you can have a picture of your mother and son and then find out in the area one of the PTA meetings. And then you can hashtag Scranton PTA meetings. And all of a sudden, when somebody's on Instagram and they happen to be like, oh, shoot, Johnny, when is your PTA meeting? They're on Instagram. The other moms are tagging it. And then they stumble across this really beautiful photo of this mother and son. And there's a helpful tip from a Scranton family photographer saying, don't forget local elementary school and this date. Did any mom go to Instagram looking for a family photographer? No, she went there to see the other moms talk about the PTA madness. And we all know how moms get about PTA madness at school. And all of a sudden they see this photo that's stumble upon. So what I really encourage people to do is to be strategic about hashtags and put yourself in the shoes of the customer and see what would they be searching for and how can I insert my business and my photos in those online conversations.
I love that. And I just want to pull out one or two key things you said there. One, just for clarification, when you said 30 hashtags, that's in reference to on Instagram, you can have a photo with a maximum of 30 hashtags, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then I just love what you're saying. And so I'm kind of going to be, we'll call it like whiny student, right? We all
bring
have
it. Bring it.
It, right? Because I
it.
Already can feel the devil's advocate is going to be like, okay, Jasmine, but then how do I show up in the conversation where they already are? How do I figure out what they're talking about? Or better yet, like the real devil's advocate question is like, why does someone care if I show up in a feed where they didn't ask to be, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're asking these questions specifically because when you bring the heat, I can bring the heat. And I like to view Instagram, and I say this again and again, and it doesn't get old to me because I hope that this illusion makes sense to a lot of us. And that is Instagram is a cocktail party. And so often many of us walk into the cocktail party and expect to be Cinderella. We expect to walk in and everybody stop their champagne and they look over at us and be like, oh, who's that person? It never works that way. None of us are Cinderella. Most of us are Cinderfella with like, you know, not a glass shoe, but like a rubber shoe trying to go into the vault. And what we have to do at this cocktail party is we have to go out and start talking to people. We're not special snowflakes. If we want to go out there and hustle for our business, we must show up. And the hard work is figuring out how to insert yourselves in those conversations. And so I think this goes back to I'm a firm believer in creating an ideal customer profile. Like, this person is real to me. I think about what she needs and what she wants, how she spends her time. Is she a mom? Does she travel? How much does she make? What kind of car does she drive? Where did she go on vacation? So for instance, I just got home from a trip to Costa Rica, and I was making sure that I was using Costa Rican hashtags that were relevant to where I was. Not because I believe people of Costa Rica really need my social media strategy services, although if they wanted them, I'm fully amenable to it. I'm using these hashtags with strategy for Americans, for Canadians, for Australians who are visiting Costa Rica to randomly stumble across one of the hashtags that we are all using. And I talk about where I am on vacation in relation to my business. And that right there is how you go out and insert yourselves in other conversations. And so it's going to be really important for you to think, okay, so what is it that I'm selling? Okay, let's say I'm a life coach. Let's say I'm a fitness professional. Let's say I create baskets that I weave underwater. Whatever it is, people who are looking for a fitness professional, people who are looking for a life coach, they're not really going to Instagram searching the life coach hashtag. They might, but they're not necessarily for there. They might, however, be searching inspirational quotes, Motivational Monday. They might be looking for meal plans. They might be looking for thyroid eating tips. Now you wonder, well, wait a minute, I'm a life coach. What does a meal plan have to do with this? Well, studies have shown that, and actually studies have shown, let's like totally dumb this down. When you are going through the Instagram Explore feed, what are they showing? The most highly engaging content. And a lot of that has to do with things that people are spending a lot of time watching. Fitness, food, fashion, escapism, all of those elements. And if you're like, well, I'm not really into fitness, I'm not really into food, I'm not really into fashion, is there any way that you can carve your content to point it back to what you do? For instance, can you eat better to get your mind right? And when your mind is right and your soul is right and your heart is right, you have this really great inspirational post, you can talk about how what you put into your body manifests as it comes out. It's a mindset shift. And you talk about mindset, and you're like, I wrote this blog post, or I have this free opt-in for how to use your mindset. Anything that you can do to create relevant content that you think your dream customer is looking for. So there's that old adage, sell them what they want, give them what they need. Mm-hmm. They're not there looking for a life coach. They're there looking for life changes. And so what can you talk about that results in life changes that can point back to what you do as a professional? This is the hard work. This is next level. You said we're not going to do the basic Instagram chat. I'm here to like rustle some feathers and be like, this is hard. This is really hard. But I promise you spent a little bit of time on the front end, and the rest of it you get by momentum.
I love that. And I think it's really similar to, we're actually launching something right now, and somebody reached out to me after they bought and sent me a Disney GIF. I was like, I know you love Mickey Mouse as much as I do. I've been following you since you went on a Disney vacation. And it had never crossed my mind when I was posting that on Instagram. I'm just like a little kid at Disney. So I'm just like, look at everything that's happening. But somebody found these photos and it ended up impacting a later purchase decision. Because I think a big piece of what you're saying is like, people aren't buying what you sell, they're buying you.
1,000%.
I love it.
1,000%, Zach. There are too many people who are photographers. There are too many people who are life coaches. There are too many people who are fitness professionals. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that saturation is seclusion from a market. It just means that diversification and identification within that saturated market is tantamount to our success.
I love it. I love it. So I just want to kind of recap where we are and make sure that I'm following with you and that we're all following together. So there's no secret formula to Instagram. It's not about follow for follow. It's about, number one, getting consistent. Number two, making sure that you're not blaming the algorithm, and that honestly, you're playing the game, because it's a game that whether you like it or not, it's what we're playing. Number three, you put yourself in the shoes of your customer. And then there's this whole strategy, instead of doing, like in my case, hashtag social media marketing, I would hashtag small business owner, because I'm actually looking for small business owners, not other social media marketers. Am I following so far?
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. And let me tell you something, Zach, on a side note, you are a good podcast host, because oftentimes I just speak so fast and I go lily pad, lily pad, lily pad. And what you do is you put this little bridge, a moat, a bridge over the moat between all of them. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Matt. Do not edit that out. Matt is my editor, guys. I love it. Okay. So can we talk very briefly? Because I do want to start Trap Up. I think that this is so key, because it's like, we almost had a more advanced conversation that is, fortunately for us, it comes down to doing the work and getting back to the fundamentals. But how important is like beautiful photography on Instagram? And without going down the rabbit hole, I guess is the only way I can preface it. What do we do if we're like, okay, I'm in it to win it. I love Instagram. I spend a ton of time on there. I personally have started loving Instagram as a user. So I'm using it more for my business. So what are my next step if I'm like, I'm trying to develop either my brand or my photography? And we joked about this. It's like, I don't have a beautiful white background and air plants and a wall that I can hold my mug up against. So what do I do?
Well, there are a few different approaches to this. Now we'll take the easiest, which is the laissez-faire. Like what comes to me will come to me and what will be. Things ebb and flow. And so if then you choose that, the I don't really care about the visuals of it, but my copy is really great, or I want people to know the real down and dirty gritty me, awesome. Step into it. Like there are plenty of Instagram accounts that don't, you know, really hinge on great photography. Now it takes a lot more work to actually develop that tribe so that you're known for that thing and your content has to be so legit and you have to show up with such a high level of consistency, but it is possible. The second route for anybody who's sitting here while it's like, well, I don't have this. And let's just go through and itemize the things that Zach joked about but didn't have. Number one, air plants. Well, you can get fake ones at TJ Maxx or Marshall's for $4.95 or buy the real things from West Elm for about $9.95. You don't have like a perfectly white background. Well, you all can get a roll of butcher paper from your local craft store for about $14.99. You could just simply roll it on out against the wall, on the floor if you would like, or you could do something that's so wild and crazy, and that is to treat yourself to a great cup of coffee at a local coffee shop, because there they have large windows and beautiful backgrounds. You can get some work done and simultaneously get your Instagram photo. How bad do you want this? Go out and get it. Or number three, which is the highest level, and this is for people who are seriously employing Instagram as their growth strategy, and that is to collaborate regularly with a photographer. I believe that you can establish a photo shoot if you're ready and willing to invest, and you can itemize a list of 30 to 45 photos that you need to be part of your marketing and visual collateral for a 30 to 45 day social media plan. You invest in that, and it is so beautiful to get a set of photos back from a professional photographer that really positions you in a professional sphere. That's in your home, that's out on a walk, it's on a jog, it's you on your phone, working from your phone, it's you on a working on an iPad, it's you working on a computer, it's you walking your dogs, kind of that work-life balance. It's you behind the scenes. Do you ship items? What does your office look like? What does your team look like? Sometimes people really are so fascinated with the minutiae of her business. One of my students' highest performing photos was when she took her camera into her storage room and walked people through a 60-second video of what her storage room was and how she organized it. She says, I can't keep up with all the questions, which is exactly what we want. And guess what? She filmed that on her iPhone. So the spectrum is, I is who I is. That's great. Somewhere in the middle, I'm going to work a little bit hard at getting the things that I want to curate a feed that really is reflective of me. Or three, abdicating those responsibilities, investing in a professional photographer to position you visually on Instagram.
Love it. And I think for me, the big takeaway is like, you've given such actionable takeaways, but it's like, if you want to show up on Instagram, either do the work of having beautiful photos or don't, but realize that that has some effect on your overall experience. But again, as long as we're playing to these fundamentals, show up the way you can best show up now, but do the work.
Absolutely. And one thing that I should probably mention, a fourth option. A fourth option is stating something that very few people talk about, is that there's Pareto's law. It basically states that 20% of something result in 80% of the outcome. And it's the same is true for Instagram. 20% of Instagram users create 80% of the visual content that we see. So there's nothing wrong with other people sourcing imagery, investing in stock photos, borrowing from somebody else's account and giving photo credit within the caption itself to denote the source of that photo. And listen, your job is to show up, period. How do you need to show up given the limited resources or the extensive resources that you have? You make the decision, you show up, you own it. And until you build your business to get it exactly where you want, you got to be scrappy and make it happen.
I love it. Okay. Well, we ran just a teeny bit long, but I do want to throw just a few rapid fire questions at you, and then I will let you get back to taking gorgeous photos. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. So what is one really specific, actionable thing someone listening can do in the next week to kind of grow their Instagram following?
I want somebody to get a piece of paper, a computer paper, turn it horizontal. And at the top of it, I want you to write Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And beneath each of those, I would like them to list a post that they would like to put out on Instagram. Now, don't think about the logistics quite yet. Just write a post. For Zach, it could be one about the dogs, one about your work life, one about that dreaded cup of coffee and that non-white wall that you have. Another one could be, how do you spend your free time? So on. So you list the type of content that you want that is not about your business, but is ultimately attracting your dream customer. And then you take a step back and say, what do I need to do to make this photo happen? Can I get dressed once this week, take the dogs out on a walk? Can I go to the coffee shop? Can I take a picture of my workspace at the coffee shop? And on the way home, can I stop by and pick up some flowers for the living room? You can get all of your weekly content in one day and spread it out over the course of the next 7 days if you think in advance. So that's one thing that Pimity can do right now.
Love it. Now tell us, what does the word hustle mean to you? I know you alluded to it a little earlier, but we're going to give you the floor to give us the full definition.
Hustle for me means that I get to determine what I do, how I do it, and with whom that I do it. And I am happy along the way.
Love it. And finally, Jasmine, I know you are up to some incredible stuff. What should we do what should we do because we're ready to do even more Instagram learning with you?
I would love to see anybody who's interested and want to give their Instagram a makeover. I'm launching a brand new live Instagram training called Your Instagram Makeover. We're going to go through 5 very simple and yet highly effective ways to transform your Instagram so that you can use it for business with the goal of not being popular, but profitable, because we're going to talk about how to get more followers, turn them into customers, and increase our engagement along the way.
Love it. And we will link that up in the show notes, which will be over at heartsoulhustle.com/86.
Awesome.
Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Zach, you're the best. No, but seriously, Matt, don't edit this out. This guy's so freaking amazing, for real.
Well, thank you. I will see you very soon.
Bye, friend.
Wasn't that a freaking awesome interview with J-Star? I love her. Every time I talk to her, I learn a little bit something new. And I just wanted to recap a couple of really key things that she talked about. And the big one is something you can do this week, which is sit down and plan out your Instagram or social media content. You know, I think that for me, meeting Jasmine, who is so smart at social media, the biggest thing that I learned was, like, you don't just naturally get consistent. You plan out your consistency. With that being said, I also highly recommend her training that she recommended. So if you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/86, again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/86, hit us up in the show notes. We will have a link to Jasmine's training on her Instagram makeover. So if you are like me and you're looking to learn more about Instagram, it's a great place to be. We'll link it up for you there. So I hope you got so much out of this episode. I know that I took a ton of notes. I hope you did too. And I will see you next week on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.